This episode of Watch What Crap Happens is brought to you by our Patreon premium sponsors, Christy Dougherty, Mia Hansen Aloha, Cindy Gerson, Kelly Barlow, and Jess Sayin. Thank you.
Watch what crap happens, watch what crap happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crap happens?
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crap Happens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me, as always, is the funniest man in America, the most wonderful man in America, and certainly the best scooter-driving guy in Los Angeles. It's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com. Yeah, I know you're getting
to
it today.
You happy little monster.
Happy
today.
Little
I love
fucker
it.
Today. Yeah, from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, Jesus, you just made me feel like a million damn dollars, bang.
I like to do that while I'm still feeling fresh at the beginning of the recording day. The reason why I think I'm so happy, Ronnie, is because we are like becoming professionals, y'all. Yesterday, we made a grand announcement that we will be doing our 500th episode live at the Gotham Comedy Club in New York City on July 19th at 8 p.m. Those tickets are going on sale very soon. We're going to have the link up on our site, watchwhatcrappens.com. We'll have it on facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens, all our social media. We will blast that link out as soon as possible. But if that weren't awesome enough, we are here today to announce that we're doing a second show this summer in Los Angeles at the Terragram Ballroom in downtown Los Angeles, September 2nd. That's a Saturday. It's a weekend night. And now it's June right now, which means you have plenty of time if you're an out-of-towner to book your airplane tickets and come to the show.
Come to the show. They're both huge. They're our biggest shows we've ever done.
Yeah.
The Gotham is 300 people, so please, 300 New Yorkers, get your ass out there.
Yes.
And the LA one is 600 people, which is terrifying, but also sounds like the best party ever. So yeah. Get those tickets.
Yes.
And also, for those of you that we see online, like, I don't want to go alone. I don't know anybody. Guys, guess what? You're in good company, because there's a lot of us out there who like going to shit alone. So we don't sponsor this, just in case anybody fights on this Facebook group. We have our Watch What Crappens Facebook, which of course comes to you, and you can ask us questions or anything there. But there's also a private group on Facebook for Watch What Crappens that we don't run, but is hilarious and has a really good community of people there.
Yeah.
And they are organizing a pre-party in New York for all the people who want to meet up first and become friends before you all go. So
yeah,
that's going to be fun.
Yeah, and you will become friends, because even going as far back as TVgasm, I have now made several friends in life just through people I met who were readers of TVgasm. I know, Ronnie, you have too, and also through just the podcast here. And, you know, we have our – this is a good tie-in. We do a Google Hangout once a month. We're having one this Thursday for Patreon supporters, and we become friends with our listeners just through that. So don't worry. Go to the meetup thing. And I think Ronnie and I, we're going to try to put together something that the Saturday of on September 2nd, something that weekend. That means for our Crappens listeners, that way, if you are coming in from out of town, if you're coming down from the Bay Area or from Arizona or wherever, or who knows where else, maybe we'll do something so that way it's not just the podcast show. Maybe we'll do some sort of like fun thing where we all get together, so that way it's more of an experience.
Yeah, we'll have some kind of Crappens meetup that weekend on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, to make it worth your while.
Party.
Yeah. So the Terragram Ballroom show, that's the downtown Los Angeles one, Those tickets go on sale on Friday on Ticketmaster, which is crazy that we're even on Ticketmaster. This is, I mean, Ronnie, this is bonkers. We're like grown-ups. We have a show that's going to be on Ticketmaster.
Please buy those tickets.
Yeah, by the way, the subtext is, please buy the tickets. We have 600. Yeah.
Dude, you do not want to see me cry. I ugly cry, okay? And I will have no problem getting up there and crying my fucking face off, okay?
Yeah, and we're working hard to get some special guests for both shows. We already have a pretty strong feeling that at the very least there may be some Bravo celebrities in the audience. So, yes, girl. So, it's just going to be awesome. I cannot believe we're doing both these shows in such big venues. And the other thing, can I sell it one more time, everyone? Is everyone going to get totally annoyed if I make one other point?
No, go ahead. I love your excitement. So it's waking me up.
Good. The best part of waking up is Ben Mandelker promoting his show in your face. So the thing is, if we actually can sell out this downtown one, the 600-person one, that's like a really good litmus test. And we really feel that if we can now tell people, yeah, we sold out a 600-person venue, we think a lot of other venues across the country will then start signing us up. We'll then start booking us to come. You know, we'll say, hey, you know, we heard you guys sold out LA. Why don't you come to Chicago? Why don't you come to Dallas? Why don't we come to Miami or Boston? So we really hope that everyone shows up because we think it'll help us actually get out into the country to see people face to face. So there.
Well, there you go, everybody. And in the meantime, we've got a little Southern Chomp. By the way, we were talking the other day, me and Ben, and I said, so Ben, you know, what are you doing today? And he was like, I'm good. Mm-hmm. And I said, where are you getting this mm-hmm from? Like, it's, you know, we go through different little vocal tics over the mm-hmm. years, and I've just, it's been the past few months, and he's like, don't mm-hmm shame me. That's, I'm just saying it. Who cares? Yeah. Well, then I realized the end of this theme song, it's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's where he's getting
yeah, it. Probably. Well, the other funny thing is one of our listeners tweeted at us, I think the listener's name is Icelandic Troll, which I really enjoy that. And was like, you know, you got to work on your Ashley Borders impersonation from Southern Charm Savannah. He, or perhaps she, was like, you know, you just sort of make her sound like a breathy Southern lady or something like that. I'm like, that's what I make all the women sound like these days because we're covering so many Southern shows. It's like my Ramona has now become, hey, y'all. Okay, y'all.
Ashley Borders. I think I do a pretty decent Ashley Borders.
Yeah, you're considering
she just has a clipped thing. And I like when she gets really upset. And then she goes from like, this, like, get out, none of you are invited, it's over.
Yeah, yours is really good.
She doesn't have like a too strong of a thing, but I mean, look, they can't all be Tommy's.
No, and by the way, Southern Charm Savannah, I have a lot of thoughts on that, so I hope everyone stays tuned later in the week when we do our Southern Charm Savannah recap on Friday, because that was it was a surprisingly shocking finale. The first half I was like, okay, and then I was like, what the fuck? So more on that later.
Yeah, that was a weird finale. Yeah. And they're like, okay, it's over.
Yeah.
The last, yeah, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about it.
So this Southern Charm was like, ba-da-ba! Key West. Everyone's laying out, and Cameron and Landon are getting massages, and then Catherine's reading some giant book.
Yeah.
She's like, I've changed. I'm reading. And it's like, strike the shepherd down with the ore of the mountainous region of the heart of the soul. I was like, put that book down, girl. Get you a People magazine.
It said, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter.
Really? Baba black sheep, stop scattering. I'm totally proud of your sobriety and everything, but it doesn't mean you have to be brilliant all of a sudden, you know? It's like, I'm sober, sheep scatter. It's like, you can still read an in style. Okay? Nobody she's can actually keep you drunk.
She's actually expecting that if she slaps Shep, she's going to see sheep running everywhere.
That's why Craig hits him later in the episode. Yeah.
Where are the sheep? Where are the Serta sheep?
You grab the bull, you get the sheep horns.
Gosh. So speaking of which, Shep and Thomas are jet skiing. having a fun bro time. And while everyone's having fun, Craig and Naomi are sort of bickering over texts because Naomi really is standing by her thing that she said before the last episode, which was, I'm going to come on this trip, but if you disrespect me in any sort of way, I'm going to leave right away, and we will not be together when we come back. And sure enough, she was sticking to it.
Yeah, so who got punished here?
Yeah.
Like, everyone else is going down a slide in the ocean, okay? Like, what did you get? You're going to go home and stare at a sewing machine in front of a couch, Naomi.
You're getting on a regional jet with Snowden, Naomi. That's not fun.
You totally lost this bet. It's like, I'm going to punish you. Damn it, I'm alone.
I mean, so, I do actually appreciate her following through, because I always feel like people make, you know, ultimatums and then don't follow through, especially with parenting. And of course, I say that as a fully informed person with no child. But I do feel like people make ultimatums all the time and don't follow through. So I was like, good for you for following through. Although, it's kind of ridiculous, and you're the one punishing yourself. So, okay.
Yeah, you lose.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, Craig is at the top of the slide in his swimsuit on his iPhone without a waterproof cover on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hold on, guys. I'll come down the slide, but I want to make sure that my girlfriend feels good. So, hold on. I'm texting her. And I just thought, she would be so pissed at you if she saw you on that slide in the middle of the ocean with no waterproof cover on your phone. It's like, I'm with, you know, she's in my spirit.
Well, I was also a little surprised that we didn't suddenly hear like a sound, and then Craig sitting there being like, sorry, I tried to embroider Gizmo onto the inflatable slide and I kind of popped it.
Now, is that my fault or the slide's fault? Probably the slide.
You can't change who I am, slide.
It's certainly not fair, and it's certainly not competential. To give me an ultimatum, slide. I don't even know who I'm dating anymore. Naomi, broken slide.
I used to have so much more fun with this slide, but now it's all deflated. And I'm like, is it bad that I'm having more fun on the jet ski now?
I haven't been on a slide in so long that made me feel this bad.
Every time I'm having fun, the slide just cuts me down by deflating itself.
Craig's like adorable insecurity. I just want to hug him every time.
I know.
Like,
this
everything
is his most
that
huggable
hurts
season.
His feeling, like, I think everything that hurts his feelings is like so privileged, you know? It's like privileged hurt but hurt. It's like,
I wasn't lying about finishing law school.
It's like, oh, I feel so bad for you. Your law school insecurities.
I know. Poor sweet Craig. So, meanwhile, Austin and Chelsea are doing that thing where you parachute up. Wasn't really paragliding. I don't know what it is.
Parasailing.
There's so many different para events that you can participate in now. I don't know which one's which.
The para key party.
Pass me round.
They're parasailing on the Skywalker boat, which is just a little too like Luke for me, you know?
Yeah.
It's
a lukewarm experience. Didn't. Like, we're back to our old selves, Craig. I mean, Austin.
I would never be as happy on the pirate's aisles. I'm with the Austin.
I feel like I'm on a reward challenge and I've won everything from Jeff Probst right now.
Chelsea. So, Cameron's getting a massage and Whitney's like, let's prank her. Come on, mother. Mother is massaging your breasts right now. She's like, was that a nightmare?
Yes, it was. You just saw Nosferatu rubbing your shoulders.
Dressed like Patricia. What if he really was just like Norman Bates and he was walking around in like a dog caftan?
I would actually respect him more.
It's been Whitney this whole time.
Well, they do actually. I actually think they look similar. They have the same way of doing it, like an open mouth smile when they're really happy. They kind of gape their mouths, and they sort of have the same rounded cheekbones and the same smile. So when they're really happy, it's actually almost endearing how they just sort of open up their mouths and have like a silent laugh. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, they both have that weird like that mouth that's like kind of Botox but always talking.
Yes.
It's like it keeps talking even after their voice has stopped because it keeps like twitching or something.
Yeah. So then Catherine goes and joins Danny and Elizabeth. Lizzie! And they're talking about Landon, and Catherine's like, well, things are unresolved because, she hasn't been accountable ever, And
she hasn't taken ownership of stuff she said, and she wants what's best for me, but you can't just, like, switch like that.
I'm like, you have pulled the biggest switch of all time, okay?
Yeah.
I think if suddenly you're reading, like, Strike the Shepherd and the Sheep Scatter and the, you know, voluminous of the whatever, cathartic, Landon could be nice for a day, okay? Maybe she just got, like, decent drugs.
I mean, all your fame is based off of your extreme mood swings, Catherine, so you can actually, you can swing on a dime and still be loved for it.
Yeah.
So
I don't think you can change so fast, although I am in daylight.
Which is a big step for me. So Danny actually comes to Landon's defense and is like, you know, Thomas was being a dick and Landon really stood up for you. It was kind of crazy. She really, really did. And Catherine's like, and then what I loved was then we saw Landon.
Then Catherine's all,
Landon, then it's one of these things where it's like cutting back and forth between two groups of people. So you see Landon joining Cameron on a chaise, and as soon as she sits down, the producers cut to a seagull just like flying over them. It's like, I was like, is this a subtle commentary about Landon's laugh? Oh, we have to do it away from the microphone. We're hurting people's ears.
Was that far enough away?
Yeah.
Cameron's yeah. like, I am so relaxed. And she goes,
ditto!
That's her reference. Her ode to ghosts.
And also her shout out to Rush Limbaugh.
Is that a Rush Limbaugh thing to say ditto?
Yeah, people call him. They're like, dittos, Rush. Dittos.
Oh, dittos. That is honestly like the gayest tagline for a right-wing commentator. Dittos, Rush.
Dittos.
Dittos,
batch.
I prefer to think of dittos with ghosts. Thank you very much.
Rush.
Landon's like, ooh, I saw a penny go up my door.
So Landon is still doubling down on this this sticking up for Catherine thing, which Landon is just crazy this episode because she vacillates so violently between her two viewpoints. But right now she's still being nice and she's like,
yeah, I was like, shut your mouth, Thomas. No, like, she's probably jealous of the nanny, and I get it, because, like, the nanny gets to spend time with your kid, and, like, yeah. She doesn't. Like, he just pokes her to see how much she can take.
Like, it's not cool. Thank you. I mean, she basically is saying, I guess it just, all this stuff reminds her of her husband. I don't know if it was here that she was talking about it, but I think that her mindset was, no matter what I think about Catherine, what Thomas was doing is fucked up, and, like, he shouldn't act like that. And so I was going to stand up for Catherine, even though I think that she's the worst. Because then at the end of this conversation, she's like,
I'm glad that we made up, but, like, I still don't want to be around her. You just don't know what you're going to get. Yeah, I just don't know. You never know what's going to happen with her.
And Danny's like, well, I will tell you this, Catherine. She had your back hugely. It was in a big way. It was gigantor. Huge. She had your back. She pulled out a sword and stabbed him right in the... I was like, okay, Danny, we get it. You're being nice to Landon for whatever reason. Okay. Yeah. Noted.
But Elizabeth does not like Landon, clearly, because she's like, well, my red flags are up, but it's really up to you to decide what you want to do. But my red flags are up. Oh, wait, those are just JD's cheeks. Never mind.
She's like, I believe in second chances, which is why I'm speaking to you right now after you completely ditched me and made me into a villain for an entire season, Catherine. But, you know, like I said, love not, want not. Herd of sheep, you know, as they say.
Scatter shepherds.
She's like, that's right. Flags up. And Catherine's like,
well, I don't know if it's genuine with...
Sorry, that was Craig. She's like,
I don't know if it's genuine with Landon, but I just don't think she's that deep.
That's bad when Catherine's saying you're not deep.
Yeah. She's like, I just want to leave it in the past so she doesn't contribute when Thomas vents about me. Like, that's a Kickstarter I don't need her donating dollars to.
I don't understand what the rewards are for that Kickstarter goal.
Then we get a nice explanation of where Danny met her husband, because it's nighttime and everybody's going out to dinner. And she says, well, Todd went home, you know, and they're like, well, how did you meet Todd? And she goes, I mean, look, I thought it was like a senior citizen water aerobics thing. I just figured Danny was just like sick of working. And she's like, that's it. I'm going to water aerobics. I'm taking the first one. It looks like he's going to have a heart attack, you know.
She's like, well, basically, we met in Patricia's kitchen. We didn't really know what to do. We just struck up a conversation because Patricia was in the other room on the phone, and all she kept on saying was, bed, bed, bed.
It was bed. Actually Michael's butler. Bed.
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 Bed. It was really awkward.
We were... Hey, look, I got an elephant.
I spent $31,000. What did you kids do?
We kidnapped Michael's butler and handed him off to Danny.
Have y'all figured out how to get that Blockbuster video to work in the DVD machine?
Be kind. Rewind. So they're on a bus to dinner, and Catherine looks pretty and stuff, and Thomas is like, well, I recognize that dress from New Year's Eve. As his hand motions are out of control right now. He's always in a presidential debate. He's always talking about like trickle-down economics. I don't know what the fuck this guy's even doing with his hands, but it's ridiculous.
Tax break for the wealthy means pretty dress for New Year's Eve.
I'd love to trickle down that dress.
Reaganomics got nothing on Catherineomics, if you know what I'm saying. No, we actually don't. We don't know what you're saying.
I would love to stain this blue dress, Catherine. Are you in? She's like, yeah, I last wore this when I had just given birth to Julian. It's the last time we were truly happy.
Well, Catherine, if I may, Mr. Bingley will be having a ball in a fortnight, and I'd like you to come as my date. Like, Thomas, stop with the Pride and Prejudice, please.
Thou art building a wall around my heart, hence refugees cannot steal our trickle-down tax economics.
I don't support President Trump's build that wall, but if he said build that hedge, like a good hedge that Mr. Darcy and Lizzie Bennet walked alongside of at Catherine's house, I would support that.
Next.
That's Lady Catherine de Bourgh, that is.
On scooters. Okay, Whitney on a scooter is my favorite thing of this season, okay?
Oh, God.
It's like the best thing. It's like, mother's on my handlebars, mother. They're like scootering through Key West, and Landon's like, this is amazing! Cars behind her are like, please. Get the dolphin on the scooter. Do they just give everybody licenses for that thing? Put that thing back in the water.
I know. I would. When they showed that gaggle of Southern Charm people on mopeds, I was like, okay, here come a bunch of broken arms. By the way, I want to mention one other thing. While I was, you know, lost in my own self-indulgent Pride and Prejudice reference, I did forget to mention that Catherine said something that was kind of sad, which is that she basically has to stay on good terms with Thomas because she knows what he's like when he has all the power, and if she, the moment that she has a misstep, she loses her kids. I was like, God, these two are, it's so fucked up. It is so fucked up.
Yeah. But, you know, knowing Catherine as we do, we know that it's not just a simple, like,
oh, he feels powerful, so yeah. I'm losing my kids.
You know, it's also like, I will stab you in the throat, Tommy.
Yeah. Yes. And like, she did do the same thing to him last season, so it's just.
Yeah, these two are so crazy. It's hard to take any side. I like Catherine as a person, so yes. I take her side.
Yeah, me too.
Thomas, I do not like as a person, so I don't take his side. Yeah. Also, Thomas looks like a cross-eyed possum, and you never trust a possum face. I mean, that's something we've learned on Bravo, and it's been cemented in our brain year after year. Do not trust a possum face. They steal your trash, and then they throw it on the ground when they're done.
And I think he's wearing a wig.
it's a bad one. If that's a wig, that is a bad wig.
You see the way it comes out of the back? Yeah, I feel like the biggest tell for a wig with men is the back part always is like an inch off the scalp. Like, there's a guy on Food Network Star who is wearing truly the worst wig I've ever seen on TV.
Oh my God, talk about wanting people to die. I was watching that to talk about it on the bonus episode, and I was like, you know what? I've never wanted people to be turned into Soylent Green more than I do.
Than Trace. The bitter socialite.
Well, slap my butt and call me baby mama. That is a good rib.
I'm like, oh God, this guy's probably from Michigan.
He's got lies in that wig. So while the moped gang is roving through the streets like a non-scary gang, Catherine and Thomas, they all go to Bagatelle, and Catherine and Thomas, everyone's waiting, they're like, I guess, having cocktails, and Catherine and Thomas are talking, and she's like, I don't like being iced out. Like, why don't we co-parent? I've changed a lot. And Tom's like, well, I hate this system. You know, let's extricate ourselves from this process and, you know, let's mediate a little. You know, we can mediate and be good parents together, politician hands.
Well, unfortunately, the budget is out of control. And I feel that if Hillary Clinton paid attention to the budgetary needs of her constituents, I would not be spending 10 grand a month to keep you beyond the hedge. Let's mediate. She's like, meditate if you hit the shepherd. She's like, no, mediate.
Wait, I don't care that you want us to eat meat. No, no. Just go talk to Craig. He's good at it.
Now, this is just conversation. And unfortunately, actions speak louder than words. We will see over a period of time before the next election if actions are consistent with the electoral counts in each country, or if Catherine is trying to gerrymander ours with my children.
And like I said, lock her up, lock her up. Referring to Catherine Dennis, of course, in my guest house.
As Bridget Jones once said in Bridget Jones's Diary, F.V. very bad day.
Bridget Jones, you know, she is a lady of good caliber. She's OC, if you know what I'm saying. You know, our class, that Bridget Jones. You know, I can't deny that sometimes I see Bridget Jones and I think, wow, she's beautiful.
All the time they talked about Pride and Prejudice, I just kept thinking, you are so not Jane Austen right now. This is very Bridget Jones, maybe, possibly. But this is not Pride and Prejudice, guys. Okay.
I don't think he's even Bridget Jones. I think he's just a cautionary ebook. You know what's funny?
I have said in my free download that you get when you register to vote as an independent.
I'd like to quote something for you that it came as a free digital download with my Kelly Clarkson CD. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
And then sheep scatter.
No, Catherine.
Catherine, you failed the tests. No more children for you.
You'll never see your children again. So then Danny passes out. She's like, I don't feel well. And then she just passes out, and Whitney just stands there with a drink and watches her. Okay, no one trust fall with Whitney. Okay.
Yeah, Danny had the look on her face. We described it last week on Southern Charm Savannah, which is that closed mouth thing, except she wasn't drunk, so she wasn't doing the fake smile. She just had the closed mouth nod, and then she's like, I don't feel very well. I don't feel very well. I think perhaps the realization that she was dating Todd crossed her mind.
Poor she Todd. Just passed out. And she really did pass out, because it wasn't like that pretty pass out that people do where they're like, I fell on the fainting couch. Like,
it was not a Lisa Vanderpump faint, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I did it to the beat of the rumba.
I'm in bed. Yeah, it was like
the split leg thing. And then Thomas is like, I shall call the EMS. Hello, EMS.
Hello,
this
Fire Brigade.
Thomas Ravenel.
Fire Brigade. This is Thomas Ravenel of the bridge. We need your assistance right now. We have a lady who has collapsed, perhaps under the power of my sheer handsomeness, but it could be another cause. I'm not sure. I'm not a doctor, just a very influential person in South Carolina, North Carolina, wherever I am.
The pressure of equal rights has taken another woman into a stressful fall. Back down into the misery from which she crawled. Jane Austen, Bridget Jones's Diary.
I haven't seen a fall like this since Lydia Bennett went off with Mr. Wickham, if you know what I'm saying, right? Right, Fire Brigade, right? Can I tell you something, Ronnie? Literally, on Sunday afternoon, I was going through my iPad, and I was like, oh, Pride and Prejudice. I finished reading this. I don't think I'll probably have to make any more Pride and Prejudice references for a while, so I deleted it off my iPad to make room, and now it's like... I feel like I willed Pride and Prejudice back into the podcast.
A lady's imagination is very rapid. So rapid that she has fallen over in a bar. Jane Austen. When he's on the phone, he's like, EMS, this is Thomas Ravenel. I saw the whole thing. She passed out. Like, okay, great. Thank you so much for this detailed report, Thomas.
Yeah, exactly. But Danny, like, really passed out because she, like, she didn't just, like, pass out, as you said, like, and hit the floor and then sort of, like, wake up as, like, a typical faint. She was knocked the fuck out, and she was out for, like, a long time, long enough for them to strap her into a chair, and she was still passed out.
Yeah. So, yeah, Danny's down. Like, who cares? She already set her land in peace. That was God striking her down for sticking up for Landon.
He's like, you're not helping, Jane Austen.
Everyone's like, oh, my God, is she dying? And then all the scooters pull over into a strip mall. Landon's like, what? And JD gets the call, and he's riding his scooter with a full-ass cigar in his hand.
It's like, what is happening here?
He's like, hello! Danny! Well, hopefully there's some gentry bourbon at the bar.
You have gentry bourbon, Key West! And I like that he's like, okay, stay calm. All right, gentry bourbon. Okay, bye. And then he's like, we gotta go back to that. So they all go to the Bagatelle, and I love as they're all like motoring off, Landon goes, I'll follow. And I'm like, well, no shit, Sherlock, you're gonna follow. What else are you gonna do? Go to a different key?
So Cameron's like, oh, don't worry, everybody. Danny texted and said she was just dehydrated. If she's texting, she's good. I'm like, say that to all the people on hijacked planes that are, like, texting their loved ones, okay? That is not a sign of being good. It's a sign of just communication, okay? Jesus. So she's like, then Cameron, I like when Cameron whips out her empathy. She's like, when you feel faint, that's the worst feeling in the world. Is it?
You know what I think is probably a little worse? Knowing you've had two children with Thomas Ravenel. Well, that might make you faint.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the most immediate thing we can think of, and it already beat your example, okay? Don't try and be an empath, Cameron. just stick with what you know, okay?
Well,
just
Cameron, judge her. Cameron loved announcing that Danny was fine, and she's ain't going... Cameron said, I think about five times, she was just really dehydrated. She was really dehydrated, guys. She's really
That's
dehydrated.
That's her way of just being like, she's thirsty, told y'all. So Landon's like, so should we sit, boy, girl? Boy, girl? Boy, girl? And Thomas is like, well, keep that girl away from me. And she's like, Thomas, can we just try to be nice to each other? Like, no jabs.
I thought he said, get far the fuck away from me.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah. A little more harsh. Not quite a Jane Austenism.
Jeez. That guy's pretty dramatic over there.
As Jane Austen once said, Landon, if his own vanity, however, did not mislead him, he was the cause. His pride and caprice were the cause of all that Jane had suffered and still continued to suffer, and also get the fuck away from me.
Oh, and she's like,
well, angry people are not always wise. Jane Austen snaps.
Heavens! Jane Austen!
So she's happy because she doesn't have to talk to him for the rest of the night. She's like,
well, at least his hand won't be on my vagina, Jane Austen. So,
I have to point out that Austen is drinking an espresso martini. So,
and that his name is spelled like Jane Austen, actually.
Oh, that's so true.
Thank you for being a living Jane Austen reference.
Chelsea's like, now don't forget you told me earlier you weren't drunk so you could perform later.
And of course, like, by performing, I mean you go out with the street musicians and play buckets, right? How are you going to audition for Stomp if you're drunk? Key West Stomp.
Like, vanity and pride are different things, so the words are often used synonymously. She's like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
is that a pride and pride something, Rever, from Jane such and such face? I don't know. I want to go hunting.
Thomas is like, I prefer the sequel, Prejudice and Prejudice. Just straight up prejudice.
Oh, I like the. I also like that parody of the sequel, Prejudice and Prejudice and Zombies.
I'm just like Bridget Jones, eating paint butter from Spain.
I could easily forgive his pride if he had not mortified mine while hunting.
Chicken back, sketch the most crawfish, Bridget Jones.
Chicken backs. I cannot ever give up chicken backs. Mm-hmm. So Craig's like, all right, guys, I've got a conversation starter. Whitney, if you had to give up cheese or oral sex, what would you do? And Whitney's like, I'd give up cheese. Craig's like, I'd give up oral.
I really thought about this, actually, and it's currently a raging topic on our Watch What Crappens private group. That we do participate in. I think I would actually get. I mean, cheese is really special, and you know, cheese you can enjoy in front of your parents. So I'm gonna keep cheese.
Well, also, it's not specified whether they mean give it or get it.
That's true too. Plus, also, you can,
like, would you give up giving? Yes, I would stop giving blowjobs to have cheese. Like, what do I care? Like, my mouth doesn't have anything going on in there.
You can also achieve the same effect with different maneuvers with oral sex. Whereas cheese is cheese. Cheese is special. You can't have a pizza without the cheese. I mean, you can. Sorry to people who are lactose intolerant. But if you're lactose tolerant, I mean, I'm keeping that. There are people in this world who cannot have cheese. So we have to appreciate it.
Yeah, there are substitutes for oral, but there's not substitutes for cheese.
Thank you.
There's just not. Not a good one.
Yeah, so okay. We're Team Craig on this one.
Yeah, I'm Team my palm, so.
And I
win.
I feel like Whitney was also saying, oh, I'd give up cheese just to make himself seem like more of a renob, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, Whitney. Jumbo yeah, slapper. Whitney's just like under a, what is it, where things fall on you? He's under an avalanche of oral. He's like, whoa, bro.
Whoa, bro, it's too much. I mean, how could I turn so much, away?
So much oral.
But Craig's like, cheese. I think we're going to say the same thing.
That yeah, he's like, yeah, I would give up oral. Yay, cheese. Oh, by the way, are we doing presents? Because I got your kid his first outfit. It says arriving soon, 2017, tiny little spaceship / gizmo pattern.
And Shep's like, gosh, well, the soon is a little off. It's not perfect, Craig. Gosh. This is also, by Shep is turning belligerent because earlier when they're deciding what wine to order, basically, everyone wanted red and Shep wanted white or something like that. And he's like, oh, well, looks like I'm drinking the whole bottle by myself. Gosh. And everyone's like, And then when Craig was like, I'd give up cheese, Shep was like, why, Craig? Gosh.
Gosh. Your soon isn't perfect. Gosh.
Gosh.
Oh, poor Shep. You have meth face and you have a giant zit on your forehead and you look dry like shoe leather. So please just be quiet over there and possibly take a bath at some point. Okay.
And beware of bones. Chicken
so
bones.
The next day, Chelsea's like, hi, Austen. Get Oscar swimming in the swimming pool ocean. And then Shep hugs Shep. God damn it, Ronnie. Shep hugs Danny. And he's like, are you okay? She's like, I was dehydrated. I'm fine. Okay. I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah. I'm so embarrassed, y'all. I was dehydrated. I'm so embarrassed. Just came out of nowhere. I'm so embarrassed, y'all.
And he's just wasted still the next day. And Cameron's like, are you still wasted? You better walk a line. Every day is Groundhog Day in his life. I'm like, at least Bill Murray's funny. Okay.
Well, if it's Groundhog Day, that means he's not really sustaining any permanent liver damage then, I guess.
Oh, that's true.
It's the same booze over and over again, but with no damage.
Yeah. Still.
So, Cameron, Cameron pulls aside Craig and is like, Craig, you need to be aware of how you talk to Naomi in public. Like, you know, you're sort of the perceived asshole in this situation. And he's like, Craig goes, well, there's like a lot of stuff behind closed doors I have to deal with. Like, for instance, we keep our washing machines in the closet. That's behind a closed door. And then, like, sometimes they're winter coats behind closed doors. And, like, we have whole other rooms that are behind closed doors. It's, like, a lot.
The stuff that she says to me, like, when I hear it through the whir of the sewing machine, it sounds way worse. She's like, what, does she beat you?
Our relationship is literally hanging by a thread. Like, Naomi tells me if I sew one more thread into a pillowcase, she's going to leave me.
Like, there's no thimble strong enough to push that needle through. You know what I mean? She's like, no, Craig. I don't know what you mean, okay? Just be nice. That girl's nice. She's paying your rent. All right. Well, thanks for the advice.
I have a question. When people say stitch in time saves nine what? Oh, Craig. No, because I sew.
Shep comes out with biscuits and gravy. He's like, hey, gosh, last night I got so drunk I thought that I saw someone trying to spell soon on a baby thing wrong. It was terrible. And he's like, whoa, dude, is that beer you're having for breakfast? He goes, don't talk about beer. You're Mr. Beer.
Burn. Shep really got him with that one. You're Mr. Beer, gosh.
Look at that bird. It's a bird. It's got such little feet.
That's my favorite. And the sandpiper is like, oh my god, get the camera off me. I'm having a fat day. I did not sign a release.
Poor sandpiper. Cameron's like, well, look, you're not Shep, so you're doing a great job in your relationship. Meeting adjourned.
And meanwhile, Shep starts sneezing on Cameron's leg. He's like, gosh! Gosh! She's like, ew, like, Shep. Shepherd!
That was pretty gross. Like, what?
It was hilarious. The sandpiper was running around trying to get off camera.
Trying to get the fuck away from Shep's sneeze. It's like a biscuits and gravy sneeze, the worst kind ever. It already looks like coagulated snot.
I just want to say that, like, as a whole, I think that wading birds are the most hilarious of all the birds. They just always look a little frantic. They sort of those long legs. They're just sort of silly, right? I mean, give me a sandpiper. Give me an ibis. Give me an egret any day.
I'm like, my bird anyway, knowledge is so down. I'm like, I love Mrs. Peacock and Clue. The end. I like, know nothing about birds. I'm like, please go away, birds. I know that grackles are terrorists.
Grackles are the worst, but they're not wading birds, so see?
So, speaking of wading birds, Landon and her sister. Just kidding. Her sister's like, well, here I am to wade. Oh,
her sister talks like a... the Helena Bonham Carter character in Harry Potter.
Is this... Well, okay. Yeah, I'm trying to see where we are. Because I have my next note that Whitney goes and visits Patricia.
Oh, did I skip something? Okay, yeah. Pat is in a fur robe and giant curlers in her hair.
Yes.
And Whitney's like, you look like Joan Crawford, mother. She's like, I don't know if I want to look like Joan Crawford.
Beard. Beard.
Have you seen Michael's butler?
Can you call in Michael? We found another small little fan that needs to be attached to something that costs thousands of dollars. Can you have him do that? I just want to make sure he feels degraded more.
That's why you have people like me, ma'am. So, let's see. Next, Thomas and JD in the office. Oh, my God.
Gentry Bourbon. We're in the office of Gentry Bourbon.
And it turns out that Kristen Dowdy is a model because there's like a huge picture of her in the office. It's like a big white horse.
I was like, is that where this is going?
I'm a model.
So he's like, well, I got some cobwebs from going out there and drinking like a youngin on a scooter. That was crazy.
Thomas is like, yeah, that was a weird weekend. Catherine and I got along at the same time. The relationship between Landon and I fractured.
Yeah. Yeah, JD was like, what flipped the switch? What? And now T-Rab starts calling Landon hypocritical and this and that. And, you know, because Landon deigned to snap back at him. And so then JD is like, well, the one person who should always have your back is your lady. I'm like, and he's saying this with like a full thing of dip in his mouth. I'm like, ugh. Sometimes it's just like men. Just like, shut up. Shut up.
And he's also saying it to somebody who's like tricking his 20-year-old into taking drug tests or whatever when he knows she'll fail so he can steal the kids away. It's like,
yeah,
come on, JD. Of course, JD doesn't really hide the fact that he thinks Thomas is just a total douchebag. He just looks at him like,
well, there's a horse on the wall and I like to spit out nicotine.
Yeah.
What do you say in this situation?
Thomas is probably a major investor in the Gentry Bourbon, and so JD's like, oh, well, I guess I have to indulge this every now and then. It's part of the investor agreement.
Ah! Yep. How else will I show my new office?
Yeah.
So Landon now, and her sister are talking, and Landon's like, it was mayhem.
Seb was a train wreck. Look at him. I got him on a video. He's so strong.
We did learn somewhere in here that Shep and Craig missed their connecting flight to Charleston. And we later find out why. Basically, Shep was too wasted. But I think they talk about that in here somewhere. But essentially, now it's back and forth. Now we're doing one of the cross-cutting things between T-Rab and JD talking about their experience, and Landon and Bam talking about this whole thing between T-Rab and Landon. And we learn that T-Rab texted Landon and said, my good opinion once lost is lost forever, which was...
Yeah, that's about me. He means his opinion about me.
her sister's like, I get it.
Yeah.
Get it, Landon.
She's like, I'm Lizzie and he's Mr. Darcy. And as one of our listeners tweeted at us, do they realize that Lizzie and Mr. Darcy get together at the end of the book? Spoiler alert.
And then she writes back,
you too, proud? Oh, dear. I cannot tease you about that because that's what Lizzie said back.
And her sister goes,
so now he's saying, like, you're not friends anymore? That's crazy.
Did you notice how she said that? I was like, who is this girl?
She's a young Hope Davis. That's who she is.
So then Thomas is telling the same story.
He's like, angry. He's all angry.
Well, Jane Austen said in Pride and Prejudice, Darcy, my opinion. And then he repeats the same thing.
But his teeth. He's like baring his teeth. He's like angry and snarling. He's like, my good opinion once lost is lost forever.
I cannot fix on the hour or the spot or the look or the words which laid the foundation.
It's like, oh, Jesus, how long is this book?
Till this moment, I never knew myself. I'm like, I love a good Jane Austen burn. By the way, you're not Mr. Darcy, Thomas. You're Mr. Collins at best. Mr. Collins is like the pompous dude who winds up marrying the plain... what's her name? Charlotte, I think. And then all he does is brag about how he's, like, associated with Lady Catherine de Bourgh.
Thomas.
What a man to rocks and mountains, but their owners.
Like, that's not how that goes.
The distance is nothing when one has a motive.
She's out of the circle of trust. I want a woman who feels privileged and honored to be with me. I gave her the opportunity to date me, and that opportunity will never come again.
What a shame. What a loss for Landon.
Yeah, what a shame.
Yeah, so T-Rav declares that he's going to treat Landon now like the waitress serving a drink. Like, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you, girl. Now here's your tip.
But here's the thing. I'm under the impression that T-Rav just bangs all the waitresses, so...
No kidding. He's like, basically, he's going to treat her exactly the same, except now he's going to expect a mint at the end of the meal, you know? So JD's like, wow, fascinating books. Well, I got this deal Wednesday, black tie event. I invited Landon. I hope that's okay. And he's like, why? I shall order a gentry scotch and bourbon from her.
Bourbon, just bourbon. Bourbon. So then, so basically, and Landon, so that wraps up that scene, and Landon wraps it up with Bam and is like, you know, says how T-Rav reminded her of her husband, her ex-husband, and it struck a nerve. And anyway, the point is this, she dodged a bullet, they don't like each other anymore, and the romance will not be happening.
Yeah, and she spills some wine, and then she's cleaning up the wine. She's like, oh my god, they're trying to control us with money and power. And she's cleaning up her wine, and there's like gum on her couch. Like, you might want to clean the gum too, Landon, while you're there. What the hell, Landon?
Well, it was Bam's house, to be fair. So it's Bam's fault.
Okay. Well, I could see that. Bam's just like, yeah, Bam. By the time she's done with Landon, she's just like laying there comatose with gum like melting out of her mouth out of the couch.
We all know Bam's an open mouth chewer, okay? We get it.
So let's go on over to Amen Street, which is what a woman should say when she is lucky enough to have her prayers answered with a man like me.
So Naomi and Catherine meet up. Catherine's contouring is now officially out of control. She has full trapezoids of gray on her cheeks. I mean, she looked like a coal miner. She literally looked like she stepped out of a mine.
She took Amen too far and is like literally showing up in the sitcom Amen. Okay.
I thought you were just going to say she was like, she took Ash Wednesday and just made it her face. Cole is back. Cole is back.
I'm Mr. Jefferson.
So, Naomi and Catherine are having dinner, and she goes, Naomi, you look so great. And Naomi's like, thank you, you too. She goes, oh, I'm just casual sweater. Sweater.
So then Naomi basically starts talking about how she's obsessed with cutting Greg down. She's like, I'm just obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with cutting him down.
And Catherine's like, here's how I feel. And then she looks like, she makes her face like a shrink. I mean, we both took this gift last night.
Yes.
At the same time as each other. So fucking funny. And I'm loving this side of Catherine. Like, just sober. Like, I'm thinking about things. She's like, because what I learned in my relationship is to be mindful.
You can call me Dr. Lowenstein. And every time...
First name, Shoshana.
This is the most literary episode we've ever had of Watcher Graphics.
I know. And Danny's like... I mean, I keep writing Danny, but Naomi's like, yeah, but like... You're right. I mean, what he's saying is, like, that I degrade him and, like, I'm really mean to him. And he's right. Like, I'm obsessed with telling him he shouldn't think so highly of himself. And, like, he's a loser. Like, it's fun. Like, what should I do? She's like, well, he might be unhappy with his career. She's like, I know. That's why I'm telling him. Like, you suck at your career. You know? It's awesome.
Yeah. So eventually, Naomi starts to realize that basically for a year, she lied to Craig lied to everyone that he had finished law school and et cetera, and that she had been complicit in the lie or she had helped him, and that she really resents that, which I think is actually totally understandable. And that's where all her anger is coming from. So now she's like had her aha moment, and she realizes that she's treated Craig so badly because of it, and no one really gets to see her being rude, and that they only see him being rude to her, but they don't see that she's so rude to him behind closed doors.
Yeah, and Catherine's like,
I can't imagine Naomi being mean. I haven't seen her be a bitch even to bitches.
Yeah.
I like when Catherine cracks herself up. So basically, hugs. Catherine, of all people, giving relationship advice, which, okay. You know, she's like, shepherds, sheep. So Cameron and her mom basically have the scene of, Mom, I don't know if I want a baby. And her mom's like, well, I didn't want you. I hated babies. I had you. It was like a little stupid baby sitting there. She's like, well, did you like me after? She's like, well, I mean, do we just need to have keep having this conversation? Just get pregnant. It's a circle of life you got to do. Is stretch out your vagina. You ain't going to be using it soon anyway. It's like, okay, wow, thanks for the scene, Mom.
I'll just put it to you this way, Cameron. I'm not saying that you were a difficult child, but my hair never used to look like a duck's behind before, okay?
Look, if I hadn't had a daughter, who would I have to rent out the attic space in my real estate office? And it hurts at first, but eventually it's future discounts, okay? Future discounts.
I'm like coughing now because I've done too many JD voices. I'm like, my lungs are torn up.
So Craig and Naomi, Craig's like, sewing right now.
Excuse me. Okay, well,
I just wanted to tell you, look, I'm sorry. And she puts her legs on his legs so he can't like run away going, And she's like, look, I'm sorry. I really love you. And I have been mean to you. I've been, you know, like emotionally abusive or whatever. And like, I mean, I guess, wah, wah, sorry, sorry, cry, cry. I mean, I'm not saying you're not an asshole because you're a total asshole, but I've had a hand in it. I mean, even though you're a total cornhole, okay? You're like a puckering little dark thing that poo-poo comes out of. You're like literally an ass.
But the poo-poo doesn't come all the way out. It's like a dingleberry. So it's like, even though the poo-poo comes out, you still have to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, it gets all over your underpants. And that's like disgusting. And then when you do try to deal with it, you have to like wipe like 10 million times because the dingleberry got everywhere. And it's like, when will this be cleaned already? And you're like, oh my God, I have to wipe again. So that's kind of what you are.
He's like, I haven't had dinner in so long. When I haven't looked across the table and you're just like disgusted with what I'm saying. She's like, but like, it's literally like watching an asshole try and make conversation. You're just like, please don't spew poop on people that we're having dinner with, you know?
Did you notice the musical cues in this scene? Because every time one of them would talk, the music would change. Because she would say something like, you know, I'm really thinking about it, and I have been really mean to you. And the music was like, da, 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 da. And Craig will be like, well, but you're still mean. And it'll be like, dun, 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 dun. And she'll be like, well, I'm working on it, but you can't be an asshole. And be like, da, 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 dun, 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 da, da, dun, 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 dun. I was like, how many pieces of public domain music can they fit in this one scene?
She goes, well, I want to be a source of positivity. Dun, 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 dun. I acknowledge what I've done and I can be more aware of myself. Dun, dun, dun. It's like, dun, 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 dun. Okay, I could appreciate that. Dun, 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 dun.
And dun, 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 dun. The producers told me to be mean to you at the beginning of the season, but I guess I got too carried away. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, and you sort of did. Dun, dun, dun. But they said I could fix it by just saying this stuff to you. Dun, 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 because you're pliable. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know what pliable means, but okay, sure.
Dingleberry, Craig. Oh, you did it again.
Dun, dun, dun.
So Catherine and Thomas. Catherine comes over to Thomas's house and she's like, I brought you a flower because our relationship is officially blooming.
I thought about bringing you a bag from Bloomies, but I wasn't sure if that would be as good of a pun.
So Thomas is like, I sometimes get weak when I'm around her. I'm the happiest creature in the world. Perhaps other people have said so before, but not one with such justice. I'm happier than even Jane. She only smiles. I laugh. And she's like,
yeah, I love Raiders of the Lost Ark. I read the book.
She's like, well, please don't speak.
Nobody can tell what I suffer, but it is always so. Those who do not complain are never pitied.
Are the kids here?
He goes, she has a phenomenal body, beyond what the law should even allow, and as a Republican, I am an expert on women's bodies and legality, so I can really speak with authority on this right now.
I'm pro Catherine's life body. What a hot life to get behind.
If all women's bodies were like this, I would be certainly for Planned Parenthood. But alas.
I never understood that business. Who doesn't want a Planned Parenthood?
I thought Planned Parenthood was when you set your DVR to watch old reruns of Parenthood. I'm so confused about the controversy.
For some reason, that stopped recording.
Why
blame the Clintons.
Why would I? Why should the government have to pay to remind you to record Parenthood? I don't get it.
She's like, can I see my kids?
He's like, no, they're having spaghetti. Now, please, shake that booty, that fine, fine booty, Jane Austen.
She's like, well.
Is that a poncho? And she's like, it's a cape. And she just removes it seductively. It wasn't really seductive, but, in, you know, it was still like, Catherine has these moments of being just the most amazing femme fatale. And when she says, it's a cape, and she rises and removes it, I was just like, oh my God, this woman is amazing.
I love magic, Jane Austen.
Okay, I'm cold. I'm putting it back on.
It's like, power gone. You shall never see your children again.
I am excessively diverted, Jane Austen.
She also made kind of a fatal mistake here because she's like,
when you and I were together, I felt less than. And for once, I feel like we're equals.
He does not want an equal. You better get beneath his wing, wind.
Hey, wind.
Yeah.
Stop looking from a distance and get
beaches, okay? You yeah. are the Barbara Hershey, okay? Get under his wing, be some wind, and be prepared to die of cancer young so we can have some good crying shots for the cameras.
From a distance, you're the rose, but honestly, you're just the wind. So get under the wing.
You are the wind beneath my wings. And my wings are eating spaghetti, so please get out from under my wings until they're done.
By the way, The Wind Beneath My Wings is the most passive-aggressive song in history.
It really is. I never even realized that you were the wind beneath my wings, but now you're dead. So thanks.
You're always there in the shadows.
Thanks for still being in the supporting cast, even though you never got credit and you're still not gonna, because I'm never going to say your name in the song.
Oh, did you know that you're my hero? Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you why you were alive.
It must have been cold there in my shadow, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Still is, isn't it?
Huh, Catherine?
I'm cold. My cape. I'm putting my cape back on.
That's right, wind.
You're my shadow, wind. You're my wing shadow.
All right, so let's get to this finale party. This is going to be a 10-hour recap.
I know.
How long have we been doing this?
Wait, one thing that I actually do have to mention is that at the end of this scene, after Thomas quotes Gone with the Wind, which was a little off-brand for the episode, he and Catherine then have this long Eden Sassoon hug, and Thomas is like, I think about you a lot. And she's like, I think about you too, baby. I kind of want to kiss you. So obviously they had sex after that.
That was the longest, grossest hug, and then he's like sniffing her and stuff. Ew. And he's like, as they say in Gone with the Wind, I shall never eat turnips again. And she's like,
you know, I loves me some Scarlet. We're the same person. And if you don't think I'll burn down your Terra, motherfucker.
And he's like, oh, the white rain smells like the rain over the cows in the field of shepherds. And she's like, I read that one.
And they like make out.
Everything comes back to books. So at the now we're at the finale party at the closing of Sir Mez or whatever JD's restaurant is called. And everyone's getting ready. And Craig has now put on a cream jacket with a white shirt. And Naomi isn't sure if he should wear them both. And he's like, it's my style. And Naomi's like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, look at that progress. She doesn't nag
I
him.
Wrote down scowl. I was like, that didn't last long. Oh. She's like, ugh.
No, it did last long because she could have scowled and said, Craig, if you don't put on a dark colored shirt, then we are over.
I will leave this trip.
So So now everyone shows up at the party. Everyone's there. Even Bailey is there, who's Shep's ex. And Patricia brings her friend Carolyn Rome, who's probably someone we should know, but I was too lazy to look her up.
I'll stay here as long as the manners are acceptable. I like when Austin picks up Chelsea, and she's like, "You look handsome. You look like Richard Gere." And he goes, "Well, what does that make you?" And she goes, "Julia Roberts, duh." And then later when they get there,
at least not the gerbil,
they're saying hi to somebody, and she goes, "Don't you look pretty?" And she goes, "Yeah," he said, "I look pretty," and then he said, "I look like a whore."
No kissing. He like snaps a jewelry box on her hand.
Oh, she's funny. And then Thomas is like youthful. He's like, "What up? What up? What up, Jane Austen?"
"Hello, everyone. I'm about to have some ginger bourbon, Jane Austen."
So Patricia's like, "Well, in terms of Thomas and Landon, I thought it made sense to put them together, but it didn't work. Next."
"Michael, I have a lady for you." So
Naomi tells everybody, she's like, "I talked to Catherine, and Catherine said that she went to say hi to Thomas, and then they made out." And they're like, "Tell Cameron." They bring Cameron. She's like, "I talked to Catherine, and Catherine said that she went to see Thomas, and they made out." Cameron's like, "I'm telling Whitney. Now tell him. I went to see Catherine, and Catherine saw Thomas, and Thomas and Catherine made out." It's like over and over. They just made her repeat it to every single person.
She's like, "And Danny was dehydrated." And then
Danny's like, "Damn it, I'm so embarrassed."
And Landon's like, "I'm not surprised. She's so scared of losing her meal ticket."
She's such an asshole.
Speaking of Mr. Darcy, Catherine shows up dressed like Mr. Darcy in like a purple lipstick.
Hell.
Yeah.
And hell. She's like, "Hello, welcome to the show of Mr. Darcy." She's like ready to preside over a carnival. I fucking loved it.
I thought it was a great outfit. I loved it.
Yeah, I loved her look. And they're all gossiping about her. And she goes, "Well, they're just going to say that we're crazy in love, but love is crazy. And so the fuck are we."
Jane Austen. They're like, "No, that was Charlotte Bronte.
Whoever that bitch is." So let's see here. Basically, it's just cutting around a bunch of people, but Chelsea's like, "What fork do we use? I don't know all the rules of fine dining."
"I lived on an island for 39 days and ate with my hands and never looked back."
And Shep's like, "Hey, Craig, I wanted to say thank you because in the airport the other day, you were a good friend. And I'm serious." And Craig's like, "Yeah, well, when you spilled water on that dude and then, like, started slapping him." And he's like, "Oh, my God, I forgot about that part." And Cameron's like, "Didn't he have a chicken bone stuck in his throat? Because that's what I heard."
Yeah, and we see a flashback of Shep explaining to, I think, JD, saying that he swallowed a chicken wing and then the bone got stuck in his throat and it didn't go down until, like, 2 in the morning, which I thought was very scary and disgusting. And not ironically, but coincidentally, my friend Jenny 2 days ago got a 2-inch fishbone stuck in her throat and she had to go to the hospital and have emergency surgery to get it out.
Oh, and I'm scared of bones. Crying out loud, people.
A fishbone makes more sense because fishbones, they sneak in there.
Well, swallowing a wing hole kind of makes sense too. And then fighting with somebody while he's choking to death.
Exactly.
So basically, Landon...
it's like memories of Sir Mez.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the good times.
Like, "Oh, haven't we had good memories?"
Wah, wah, and wah.
Catherine's like, "Go away from me. You sound like a dolphin." He's like, "What's a good time without memories? For example, here's a picture of me when I had a waist size 36.
"Look, there's Cooper." So then Craig goes up to Shep and he shows off a pocket square that he just made. He's like, "Look, I made this myself, like, you know, like 10 minutes before this event. Like, no big deal." And Shep takes it and sneezes in it. Such a dick move. Even though it was a fake sneeze, it still was such a dick move.
So then his friend starts hitting on Austin. And Bailey. She's like,
So, what's the deal with you and Chalsa? You're so cute. She's like sitting on his lap, and he's like, oh, whoa. His mouth is like going crazy while nothing comes out. And he's just turning red. And Chelsea's like, I'll let that continue, and then I'll speak my part.
Yeah. So then when Austin comes back and sits down next to her, she goes, now, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you this one time. When you have another woman sitting in your lap and you're rubbing her back and a butt and the girl you came with is sitting there staring at you, you make me look like a fucking idiot. Jane Austen.
He's like, I this is the first time I, like, thought you cared. Like, what do you want, Chelsea? Do you want to be exclusive or do you want to, like, do you want to stop so you don't get hurt or whatever? And she's like, what do you want? And he's like, I'm crazy about you. My terms are exclusive.
Fuck these forks, am I right?
I think you were exclusive when you were barefoot in a pond with chicken backs. Okay? That salmonella ties you together forever.
Yes. So then, the climactic moment, really an obnoxious moment, but hilarious.
Yeah. So Craig, Shep, and Landon. So they're sitting over there and they're laughing. They're like, oh, it's the finale. They're all being nice. And then Craig's like, hey, guys, remember in Key West when you were mad at me? And she's like, yes, Craig. You're still not a mediator, okay?
Shep's like, oh, gosh. And he wants to be a lawyer. A mediator is a lawyer. Gosh.
Gosh. And he's like, well, I made myself extremely vulnerable for the first time.
And he's like, yeah, the first time in 4 years you were vulnerable.
And he's like, hey, but I did it, okay? And it freed up my life. And she's Lena's like, I don't understand.
And he's like, I just want you to admit that you talk shit about Catherine. And she's like, I talked about Catherine, but, like, I'm happy with the way things are. And he's like, it's a Band-Aid. You can't use a Band-Aid. I've tried to sew one. It doesn't work.
She's like, yeah, Band-Aids do help. They stop bleeding. So, like, your point.
And then Shep goes, do you think Russia and America's truce before the Cold War was real? No, that's why there was a Cold War.
And Craig's like, what? Like, Band-Aids, wars, like, it's cold. Like, Band-Aids don't fix being cold.
And then he's like, okay, sorry, Craig. Do you think that Barney the Animal, when he was cold?
And he's like, shut up, Shep.
Barney was a dinosaur, not an animal. Gosh. By the way, so before we go into the next part, I will say that Landon also said in the mid-series, she's like, everyone's happy except you. And I kind of think that there's some truth to that. I mean, you know, she did put a Band-Aid on it, but she's like, look, this way we can at least coexist. And I do feel like Craig is just stirring shit up. Like, it's really not his place. And he's very sweet for trying to, like, fix everything. But he doesn't seem to understand the idea that, like, let sleeping dogs be, or whatever it is. Jane Austen.
Do you think if the dogs didn't sleep, and, like, if they weren't sleeping, do you think we'd be starting wars with China? Like, oh, God. Shep's just doing whatever he can to confuse Craig.
So then Shep's like, you're going to get hit, and the reason for coming down on me is because you're a douchebag, okay? And, like, if you don't tell each other why you don't like each other, and Shep goes,
yeah, well, that's how the Bay of Pigs started.
And then Landon, now this is when Landon gets really obnoxious. And, like, this is the side of Landon where I'm like, okay, I get why people really hate her. Because she goes, he doesn't know what the Bay of Pigs is. And I really do enjoy the show that this is a show that brandishes Jane Austen and uses Bay of Pigs as a put down.
And I can guarantee you Landon does not know what the Bay of Pigs is, okay? Yeah. I can guarantee.
Yeah.
Nobody who was on the hills know what the Bay of Pigs is.
And, this is true.
And he's like, Craig, you can't receive criticism. You're like that guy in North Korea who's always threatening to nuke everybody. It's like, oh, Jesus. Okay, Shep.
What are Jesus. You, Charlemagne? Gosh.
And then they show Naomi sitting at the table talking to the girls. And she's like, oh, look, you guys. Craig just likes talking to his friends. Like, he's just likes giving advice, and I'm accepting it.
Well, we should also mention that in the midst here, I think after the Bay of Pigs comment, Shep just went and punched Craig's leg. And Craig, I'm sorry, Craig punched Shep's leg. And Shep goes, oh! Noted.
Sometimes you want to ameliorate a situation.
And he's like, God damn it.
I don't know who Amelia is.
Is this about that plain lady again?
He's like, no, it's Amelia Earhart. She's dead.
Oh, so I guess that's my fault, too. You're drunk.
He's like, you're drunk. I'm the happiest guy on earth. You're the guy with anger issues. And then he gets off and storms off again, which he does every time he gets angry.
Well,
then he goes, hey, Craig, one day you mess with the bull, you're going to get the horns. And I'm the bull.
I love Shep's drunk insults, you know, like, beer, Mr. Beer, you're drunk, you're the drunk asshole. Meanwhile, they called Catherine over to be like, so Catherine, like, do you think that Landon should apologize for saying mean things? And not even Catherine really seemed to care. And Craig was getting so, so mad. So, but the reason why Shep got really mad is because Craig's like, you're the one who got so drunk that we missed our flight, our connecting flight. And Shep's like, I'm the happiest guy on earth, man. Like, yeah, you look real happy there, drunk, standing up, tacking your, you know, your sew machine friend there, you know.
No one who studies the Bay of Pigs isn't happy, Garsh.
So well done, Craig. You're an amazing mediator. Horns, bull, Jane Austen, Garsh.
So he's out of there. He's like, oh, bye, Trail of Tears. So he's out of there, and Catherine's like,
Thomas, isn't it nice we're not the ones involved in drama for once?
And he's like, those lips, what are these, spandex?
You should wear silk more.
So basically everyone's like, gross, they're going to fuck right now at the closing of this restaurant. And Landon's like, yeah, because they're both batshit crazy.
So then Thomas is like, I thought you didn't love me. And Catherine's like, I will always love you.
And don't quote that Jane Austen song. She died in a bathtub.
Right before the Grammys.
And then someone's like, they're going to either fuck each other all night or kill each other. And then someone else went, or both. And that's the final line of the season.
Yeah. So I think, you know, last season, Southern Charm ended in this hilarious way where they were just at the party and then this random girl says to Shep, so when's Landon going to admit that she slept with Thomas? And Shep goes, Garsh! And then just ends. And everyone was like, oh my God, what a crazy ending. So I feel like they tried to replicate it here and again on Savannah. And I'm like, you know, I like that idea, but you have to have like a really good line to end it on.
Yeah, neither Southern Charm really had that.
Yeah,
but this one was at least a nice little string that keeps going through this show. It's like these two, the whole year is about them hating each other. Now it's like, okay, let's fuck.
Until the reunion when they're clearly fighting again. It's fun times.
And then probably fuck again. And then he's telling everyone that she didn't pass drug tests again. She lost custody. Then she's releasing drug tests saying it's a lie. Then they're on Instagram having a date night. It's like,
perfect.
The hell.
I like it. Sign me up.
So, who knows, everybody.
Their reunion is on in 2 weeks. I think they have the week off for July 4th. So until then, you know, well, not until then. Well, we're back tomorrow to talk some Below Deck Med, where there's also scandal afoot. So until then, everyone, go, if you haven't done so already, mark your calendars for our live shows. Just put a little save the date there. Just mark it off. Go to your Orbitz or your Rome.com or your Travelocity and book your tickets to LA for our show in September. Yeah, you go do that right now. And in the meantime, we'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye, everybody.